Good morning, friends in faith. This is Martin Zender, and I am addressing you post-conference, post-Indianapolis conference. Yes, I know my hair is a complete mess this morning, and I'm not going to do anything about it. Look at this. Look at this over here. Look at this. How's that? It was even worse before I straightened it up a little bit. I'll just kind of let you see how it looks when I get up in the morning, but why do that to you? Going to take a little break from the Revelation series to give you my impression, my impressions from the Indianapolis conference and September 23rd coming and going. If you noticed, we were not snatched away. I wondered at first because I got up on a Sunday morning and there was Steve and Laura Johnston at the breakfast table at the Holiday Inn Express, and I said, perhaps the snatching away did occur, because how great is this? I wake up in the morning and I see Steve and Laura Johnston from Birmingham, Alabama, down in the breakfast bar at the Holiday Inn Express. It was a good day. And then all the saints gathered on Sunday for the final 3 hours of the conference. And I said, this isn't bad. I don't usually wake up to a convocation of the saints. And yet that is just what happened in Indianapolis to all of us who attended. It's always a joy and a blessing to gather with like-minded people, and it's such an insulation, and you need it, and you get energy and power from it, and you hope to be able to store it like a solar cell, and you store it like a car battery, and it hopefully sustains you in weeks and months to come. And I think that's what this will do. But I guess this is related to the Revelation series, because here are my impressions on September 23rd. Something did happen. A sign is legit. And I told you on 2 days ago, I think it was, on the Monday show, that I was not expecting to see or feel anything. Dale Kelly, who drove down to the conference from Michigan, he had a phone. He had an app on his phone, and it wasn't the Stellarium app. It was an app where you could actually point it into the heavens, and wherever you pointed it in the sky on a 360 degree circle, you could see the constellation. And it was Saturday afternoon, and we were looking through his app at the constellation, and there it was, and the moon was at Virgo's feet. It was a beautiful thing. Like I said, we were all gathered around staring at the phone. It was God porn, and it was phenomenally great. And you know that I do not encourage anyone to go by feelings or emotions, but by facts. And the fact is that this sign was in the heaven, and that it was a mile marker, it was a signpost, and that things are beginning to happen now. Someone could say to me, well, Martin, you made two shows before the conference, said why the snatching away could happen on Saturday. You were wrong, Martin. Was I wrong? How could I be wrong when I said it could happen? It could happen. I'm the one telling you that it could happen in 2.5 minutes. 2.5 minutes from now. Because we are to expect it. It is to be a continual expectation that Christ will come for us and take us to where he is, so that he can begin the work of reconciling the universe to himself once his body is completed. We're to look for that. We're to anticipate it. We're to hold loosely to things in this life. I tell you that it could happen in 2.5 minutes. So how many, if that makes me wrong, how many times a day am I wrong? Every 2.5 minutes that goes by and the snatching away does not occur, I'm wrong. So how many times does that make me wrong in a day? See, how'd you figure that out? Every hour, since I think Christ could come in 2.5 minutes, you'd have to take 60 divided by 2.4. What is 60 divided by 2.5?
It's 24.
Okay, 24. Thank you, Siri. She's generally not very helpful, but so I'm wrong 24 times an hour when Christ doesn't come. I'm wrong 24 times an hour. If you're going to say that someone who says that the snatching away could occur Saturday, it doesn't occur, if you're going to consider Martin was wrong, I'm wrong 24 times an hour. Let's see how many times I'm wrong a day. if the Lord tarries. 24 times 24.
It's 576.
Okay, I'm wrong 576 times every day, and I'm happy to be wrong, and I continuously anticipate it, and it's a marvel, I guess, isn't it, that my faith survives? Yes, because if that's all you're looking forward to, I have not yet looked at the web. I just got home yesterday as I'm speaking to you. I've not yet looked on the internet to see how disappointed all the Christians are that the rapture did not take place. Because look, most of these people, they're only interested in Jesus Christ, and they're only interested in belief in Jesus Christ because it helps them, it really causes them to escape hell. And they want to go to heaven, and that's all about their flesh, it's all about their soul. So they're all disappointed now, and I think the faith of many of them is wrecked today. It is wrecked. It was wrecked on Sunday. That is my prediction. I don't know that yet. I haven't seen the fallout. But the faith of those at the conference only grows because we're not in it to escape hell. We're not in it to get into an air-conditioned office in heaven. We're in it because of the character of God, because we love God and we esteem Christ and his work on the cross. And it has nothing to do with us. Of course, the collateral beauty of it is that our bodies will be changed and that we will be taken to a realm that is much nicer than this one. That's the collateral beauty, the collateral blessing. Sorry, I just woke up not too long ago. I'm a little groggy here. So, in fact, I'll tell you this. Waylon Dams and Alan Hess gave beautiful messages the whole weekend. Mine were pretty good too. And we did record it, although we had all kinds of glitches with our electronic equipment, mine. There were some connection problems with the microphone. It was just a constant struggle, a vast struggle the entire weekend. So some of this stuff may only been recorded in audio, but I think for the majority, we got the majority of the conference. I'm so tired of messing with that stuff. I haven't even looked at it since I've been home. But as great as the messages were on Sunday, I thought the messages were just reached a pinnacle, reached a point of glory. And this speaks to the fact of a truth I've been sharing with you for several months now, of the through mentality, that we don't race toward a point. We don't look to an end. We look to go through. We look to have an experience and not just travel toward a terminus. It's all about the trip. It's all about honoring and esteeming God. And so nothing changed for us. We weren't all crying into our coffee on Sunday morning. We weren't snatched away. No, we were anticipating more messages of the glory of God. And that's just what happened. Nobody even blinked. Nobody even cared. Because we are not those people whose sole interest is our own soulish delight in meeting Jesus Christ. We are here to honor Christ, to be living letters of the evangel that is operating in us. And so nobody was crying into their coffee. We gathered happily on Sunday morning, the day after the day that we could have been snatched away, and we gloried in God. Waylon, Alan, and I taught from the scriptures with power. Messages were received with thanksgiving. People left with tears in their eyes of joy and of sadness that they were going to be departing from the saints and going home. But since we're not standing on a hill in robes looking up in the heaven every day, our faith is practical. Our faith is real. It's not based on what's in it for me. Oh, what's in it for me? I wanted to be snatched away. I wasn't. So I'm downcast. I'm downtrodden. There was none of that this week, and not even a hint of it, not even a thought of it, barely even mentioned. We might have joked about it. Well, I guess we haven't been snatched away yet. Yeah. I said, well, I don't know. I saw the Johnstons at breakfast. I'm starting to wonder. Oh, and the meeting at Dean and Amy Wilkinson's Garage on Thursday. I was just telling you about Indianapolis, the main gathering. But the Thursday before, we had a garage meeting, probably 20 in attendance, 25 maybe. And Dean and Amy's daughter, Haley, had a bunch of her friends there. They were in their late teens, early 20s. Young people, very interested in the truth. It's fantastic. They heard things. Waylon spoke and I spoke. Alan wasn't there. And once again, we speak from our heart. We speak with passion. And it doesn't come across as preaching. It comes across as I am sharing something with you that changed my life. And these young people got splashed with it. It overflowed us, came into them. And there was much discussion for hours afterwards, into the night even, as we all drank wine. And we had a little bit of whiskey there. And this is so great because these kids see this and they're impressed by the fact that we're not these people who come after you and just constantly scrutinizing everything that you do and condemning. We're not condemners. We're not law bringers. We don't smash the Ten Commandments on your head. So there was this relaxed atmosphere. I had brought some cigars and somebody else had brought some. And so there was this wonderful time and aura of freedom in Christ, and that time was used by Christ to bring the Word of God into these young people that might not have been otherwise brought. Every single situation helped to lubricate that time and bring the truth to them. And I'm not even saying the half of it. It was so beautiful. Such great truth. Now back to Indianapolis. Stacy was the woman who organized this whole thing, and she was splashed by the truth. It overflowed us and it got to her. And she told me many times, I really like you people. I really like you people. You people are good. You people are nice. I think the impression people get at first is, we have a bunch of people coming here from all over the country to study the Bible, to talk about scriptures. Must be some kind of weirdo cult or something. Then they find out that, no, these are normal people. These are good people, people of all ages. And maybe this is a good thing. Oh, yes, it is. Stacy loved it. Listen, Stacy, I'm going to show you a picture of her here. She was the first person who brought all my books up to me, all 7 paperback books. She handed them to me and she said, Martin, put these books in the order in which you want me to read them. She's a smart girl, let me tell you. Stacy, forget about it. Intelligent, smart, college graduate, a nurse. She is, nobody's ever done that. Put these books in the order, and I guarantee you she'll have them read in a couple weeks. She loved what she heard. I'll tell you what one of her main questions was, and I addressed this from the podium. But first, I'm going to show you a picture of her. Here she is with the driver of the church van, because this is funny. Stacy tried to hire a van to take a bunch of us from the Holiday Inn Express to Andy's house on Friday. Well, that driver wasn't available. Anyway, we ended up going to Andy's in a church van. Yes, yes. There were like 6 of us, members of the Body of Christ, being transported to Andy May's house, the conference organizer, in a full gospel community church van. The humor, the irony was not lost on anyone. Anyway, here is Stacy and the driver of the church van. There they are. Showing it to you the best I can there. The guy kind of looks like Michael Jordan there. Stacy looks like somebody, I don't know. Looks like Stacy, basically. There they are. She has a Chicago Bears shirt on the whole time, and she was digging the truth. I'll tell you her main question concerned, why is this the Maker's Mark conference? Remind me to tell you that here in a couple seconds. Here's the church van, and it had everything, this van, even the praying hands. Look at this. Freedom Full Gospel Community Church, Indianapolis, Indiana. There's the church van. Showing you the church van on the laundry camp. If you're not watching the laundry cam, you won't see this. It's a classic church fan. White, black lettering, praying hands on the side. Yes, we rode the bus, ladies and gentlemen, to Andy May's house, where the fellowship continued. These conferences are exhausting. they're exhilarating and exhausting at the same time. Speaking from the point of view of a speaker, not only do I and Waylon and Alan, we deliver the Word of God, which takes something out of us, but in between, people are constantly coming up and wanting to engage in conversations. They have questions, and I love it. That's why I'm there. I'm not there to eat. I'm not there to drink. I'm not there to have fun. I'm there to work. I'm there to fellowship, to give, to pour out, to pour forth. That's my number one priority, and it happens, and it's lovely. And afterwards, I'm totally wiped out. Plus, you always stay up later than you regularly do. That's why I'm a little groggy this morning. I just got home yesterday. So Stacy wanted to know, what is it with this Maker's Mark? Why are you serving whiskey at a Bible conference? And I answered it from the podium, and you will see it. And she loved the answer. She flipped out over it. And the answer is that I do everything I can to distance myself from standard issue, institutionally produced teacher, pastor, or Bible man. I don't want to be a thought of, and I don't want anyone to think that I am a standard issue Christian. And when you hear that there's a speaker at a Bible conference, you automatically get this picture in your head of, you know, some institutionally trained Bible thumping lunatic. And you know me, that's the last thing I want you to think. So I will do whatever I can to wreck, to blow up, to destroy the possibility of you even thinking of me as a cookie cutter Christian, and especially a cookie cutter minister of the word. So I serve whiskey at the conference. So when you walk in, you see 5 bottles of Maker's Mark whiskey, which I bought at my own expense, and they were all gone, by the way. I have, you know, little shot glasses, and nobody abused it. Nobody had, there was no crazy things happening. People enjoyed, they got to relax, and the word of God went forth with power. It was a lovely thing. And I also told Stacy, this is why in the early days of my Revelation series on YouTube, I would smoke a cigar every Friday. Sometimes I say naughty words during my shows. Not because it's part of a strategy. I don't write down, say shit today. Make sure you say damn. No, I don't do that at all. It's in me. I have these words. It's part of my fabric of my being because of my upbringing. I blame Larry Hoffman. Larry Hoffman was my neighbor kid. He introduced me to the word shit when I was probably 8 years old. He was an older kid. He lived across the road from me. And I remember I first heard it, I misheard it. And I thought he was saying, he had a bit of a slur or something. He would say she-at. He'd say she-at, like that. So I thought it was she-at. So I went to the dinner table that night and I tried it out. My mom served meatloaf and I said, what is this she-at? That didn't go over well. My dad said, what? So we had a discussion about that word. And, oh, I didn't know that. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, mommy and daddy. So you say it's shit, not shit. Okay, so I made note of that. I made sure I got it right after that. Just like diaspora as opposed to diaspora. I want to get the pronunciations right. So oh, here's an interesting story, too, from the conference. I'm sorry I'm a little congested. I'm a little sleepy. I'm a little groggy. I just rolled off the slab here. No, actually, I just rolled off my futon here not too long ago. I heard tell of a man who was driving toward the conference from, I believe it was, if I'm getting this wrong, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to name the name because I don't even know the name. Don't even know this person. And this person is probably listening to the show. I know this person is listening to the show. Someone, Andy told me this, someone was on the way, and this is just secondhand as I received this, someone was on their way to the conference, let's say from New Mexico. I think it was a western state. If it wasn't New Mexico, it's something like New Mexico. And couldn't wait. Okay. You know that when you want to do something that is worthy, that is noble, many times you're opposed by Satan. Satan doesn't want you. Satan puts roadblocks in your way, especially when you want to gather with the saints or you want to go somewhere where you're going to hear the word of God. So this man One was driving from New Mexico to Indianapolis. And it's always a struggle to get up and go, to leave, to organize yourself. That's hard enough. Whether you're flying or driving, you have to make arrangements. It's expensive. Take time off work. Very difficult. This is why I'm so appreciative of anyone who comes to the conference. How many did we have there? I don't know. I didn't count. I'm not about that. There was probably about 50 people. Andy at one time had said 80 people. You know, that I never take those figures at face value. I said, yeah, we'll wait and see what happens. Believe me, that ain't going to be 80 people. And it wasn't. But it was a really nice, full room. So this guy's driving toward Indianapolis, and he gets in a giant traffic jam somewhere, like halfway. And he becomes flustered, and he's struggling. And maybe this person was already a little bit not sure about it, maybe a little bit fearful, maybe getting out of his comfort zone just to leave and go. And he ended up turning around and going back. And this is what he told Andy. He said, it is only when I got back home that I listened to Martin's Friday show. My show last Friday. That was a show called Withstanding the Spiritual Wars. Oh, I can't even read my own handwriting. You can see why. I'm showing you my handwriting on the... This is what my log looks like. Look, this is how I write things down. This is what you're seeing here. That's why I can't read what I'm telling you. This is Friday's show right here on the laundry can in my notebook. Withstanding the Spiritual Warfare Against You. This man listened to it after he got back home. And he said, oh my God, if I had heard that show on the way to Indianapolis, Withstanding the Spiritual Warfare Against You, I would have push forward. I would have recognized that Satan was using this traffic jam to bring my fear to the front, to fan the flames of my trepidation. And I would have recognized it for what it was. This is only spiritual warfare. I will say that. It's a bold phrase. It's only spiritual warfare. It's only Satan. It's only the liar. It's only the great deceiver. It's only the one who has fiery arrows that makes you believe that he can derail you from Christ. It's only that he would have pushed through. That's how important that message is. And whoever this person is, probably listening here, I pray for you. You had to turn back. That was God's plan for you. It's an object lesson. I'm sharing it with the saints today. That fear is a great debilitator. Fear comes from Satan. It's difficult to get out of your comfort zone. Many times it's difficult, not because of laziness, but because of fear. We all have it. Nobody's immune from it. And it is spiritual warfare, especially when it involves the truth, when it involves gathering with the body of Christ, when it involves you wanting to do something for the sake of the truth, whether it's to order books, to give the truth to someone else. It's fearful. You tremble when you think of giving this truth to someone else. You risk rejection. You risk ridicule. None of us are immune. But when we recognize our enemy, it makes it easier to fight the enemy. In fact, you can't fight the enemy unless you recognize the enemy. I encourage you, I haven't even listened to this show. Go back to Friday's show, Withstanding the Spiritual Warfare Against You. And realize that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. These principalities and powers were defeated in Evansville, Indiana last Thursday, in Indianapolis on Saturday and Sunday. They were defeated because the word of God went forth with power. People were blessed. The power overflowed. A man named Ken from Minnesota gave my books to the staff. The staff was going crazy for my books. The staff at the Holiday Inn. The staff at the Holiday Inn was eating up my books. He would come running into the room. Martin, I need you to sign 3 more copies of First Idiot. I'm talking to the staff, and they're extremely interested in this topic. They want more. And he's passing out Flawed by Design. He's passing out other paperbacks, and some great things happened collaterally, as they tend to do. Our God is great. Our God takes care of details Everyone who was meant to be at that conference was there. Everyone not meant to be there was not there. September 23rd came and went. It happened. I told you wouldn't feel anything, probably, unless you were snatched away. Then you were going to feel a lot. But I told you it was chiefly for Israel, didn't I? And it happened. And things are different now. Wait and watch.